Well, you know, sometimes it just works, okay? To use somebody else's stuff.
You're like the teacher who gets all the worksheets online, then you can just look up all the answers.
You can use other people's stuff as long as you parenthesis and period and date it and then put your reference sheet in.
Listen to you being all official. I don't usually reference that I use somebody else's stuff ever. But I will say that for the sake of this whole series, this is somebody else's series that I'm kind of redoing. And we're going to spend the next 3 weeks talking about prayer. Now, if I'm being really honest, I think this is probably an area of my life where I could use some work. I don't know, anybody willing to admit that maybe in the area of prayer, you could use a boost, a little shot of some prayer adrenaline, if you will. I think, for me, I feel a lot of guilt sometimes because I feel like I don't pray enough or that I get distracted when I pray. And so,
you guys.
Yeah. Or that I'm just inadequate at prayer. I don't know if that's how you feel or not or if you ever feel that way. So the next 3 weeks, we're going to spend time looking at the idea of prayer. And I think this is not just something that maybe our youth group needs, but maybe our church really, majority of all Christianity probably could use to spend some more time talking about the idea of prayer. Tonight, we're going to build on a foundation of prayer. And then next week, we're going to talk about the idea of the mystery of unanswered prayer. Like, why is it that when this person prays, it seems like angels come down and lights shine around them and everything they ever pray for gets answered, and then when you pray it's like you're just talking to the wall and like nobody hears you and
the rope drops and you're actually pulling your prayer doesn't hold
it. Yes. Why is that? You know, and then in the last week we're gonna just look at the Lord's Prayer and kind of pull out some details of that and you know, really learn essentially how to pray from what Jesus said to do when it came to prayer. And so to start off, I want to look at four reasons for why I think people don't pray that much or don't pray as often as they should. The number one thing would be, can you make that go away? Push the little, where it says BKGs, push that. It's up in the left corner. Thank you.
There you go.
I figured that would just go away. I guess not. Yeah, no. Number one, people are not, calm down, leave it on there. People are not sure how to pray. People are not sure how to pray. It's like, you know, maybe question, is it legal for me to pray? Am I praying the right way? Am I using the right words? Am I saying things right? Am I in the right posture? Am I too loud? Am I too quiet? Am I repeating the same word over and over? I got to share this story just because it popped into my head, and I'm not sure how much it connects, but I was at this concert one night, and they asked this girl to come up and pray for the concert that was going on, and I swear that girl said Father God like 17 trillion times in that prayer, and she prayed the longest prayer. It was in this tiny little like youth facility. I mean, it was probably half the size of this room, and they had a full band with lights. And it was packed house. I mean, it was standing room only. And I'm just like dripping sweat, like just praying that God would end the world right now because I can't take another second of this. And between the Father God's every other word and how hot it was in there, I was just like, please let me die, you know. But there again, some people are not sure how to pray. That would be one reason, especially when they get made fun of by people like me. No. Second thing. You can change that slide now. Is we get bored or distracted while trying to pray. Anybody admit that that's happened to them? You know, like 30 seconds into the prayer and you're like, I got to go to the bathroom. Or, man, I forgot to do homework. Or I forgot to text this person or call that person. Or you're, you know, man, I got to answer my questions on Trivia Crack. Or whatever, you know. That happens from time to time. You know. Number three. We think our requests are too small for God. You know, we're coming before an all-powerful, all-knowing, you know, God, and why would he care about what I have to pray about? Why would it matter to a God as big as our God? Why would he be concerned with the little things that are bothering me? Why would it matter? And so often we just don't take our requests to God. Number four and last thing is some of us are not sure that our prayers will really make a difference. We don't think our prayers will make a difference. You know, if God already knows what you're going to pray about, or he already knows what's going to happen, and he can do whatever he wants anyways, then why would it matter if I pray about it, right? I mean, why would it matter? God didn't answer the prayer last time I prayed about this. Why is he going to answer it this time? You know, and why is it going to make a difference? So what's the point of praying? You know, I think a lot of us, we go through life truly believing in God, but having a half-hearted prayer life. We have a relationship with God so much as that we've prayed to be saved, but we're not really communicating with him very often. And so I want to start with that kind of basic level. And to begin, I think we need to kind of define what prayer is. My slide girl is not paying attention, so. What is prayer? And this is a working definition of prayer. Next slide. It is simply communicating with God. I don't know how to put it any simpler than that. I mean, it is as easy as it gets. And I get that there's a lot of facets to that. And hopefully I'll be able to cover some of that tonight. And this is kind of one of those things that it's hard to believe that it could possibly be that simple, right? I mean, it's just, we're talking about, again, an all-powerful, all-knowing, you know, all-seeing God, and all we have to do is simply communicate with him, just like we would anybody else. You know, the Bible says that we can approach the throne of grace boldly. We can go to God boldly, and we have access to him in our time of need. And yet, it's as simple as just communicating with him, but sometimes even in our own minds, much more complicated than that. I want to look with just briefly at one small passage of scripture out of the Psalms. Psalms chapter 5, if you want to turn there, or look with me on your wonderful Bible app, or you can just look up here. I intentionally put that in small print. As you'll see, I don't know why the Bible software on this program always deems it necessary to put the weird notations like a Psalm of David for the priest of whatever, you know. I know it's part of the scriptures, but I don't ever really read that part. I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say that. Yes. For the director of music, for pipes, a Psalm of David. See, I don't. Yeah, I don't know why that matters to us, but maybe if you play pipes, you'd want to do this. I'm not sure. It says this, "Listen to my words, Lord, and consider," this is Psalms 5, verses 1 through 3. "Listen to my words, Lord, consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly." One of the things that if those like four of us in here who have children will understand this, but one day when you have kids, you're going to realize that you connect with God in you're going to realize that you connect with your children, not God, although this is applicable to God, that's the whole point. I'm just jumping ahead here. With your children very differently. They, not only will you connect with them very differently, but they'll connect with you very differently. They'll connect with each other very differently. And I think it's very interesting, thinking about my sisters. I have two sisters, one who's just like shy of 2 years younger than me, and then another one who's 9 years younger than me. And we had very different relationships with our parents growing up. I'm sure this is true for you guys. The way you connect with your parents, all your siblings and stuff, very different. Kyle, sorry. You don't understand. You know, it's just different. And I think it's interesting how different I connect with Lila to Jocelyn, even as young as they are. They like different things. They like to play different games with us, and the way they interact with us is different. And at the same time, you know, that relationship, they can come to us at any time, and any there's never a moment where they can't just come before us and share something with us and tell us what's going on in their life. And I think that's the interesting thing about this passage with in Psalms is that David is saying, you know, that God listens to him. In the morning, he takes his requests and lays them at his feet. That God hears his prayers, and he's waiting expectantly for God to do something. It's important for us to give ourselves permission to realize that prayer is not just us kneeling beside our bed with our hands grasped together, and that's prayer. I mean, it's so much more than that. Not to say that you can't pray that way, because I know some people, in fact, I've heard that, for example, Darcy prays a lot like that. She has like a chair, I think, in a chair in her house where she goes and kneels down and prays and has, you know, amazing times with God like that. That's incredible. That if that works for you, more power to you. But it could be more than that. It doesn't have to be just that. Some of you might like to sing. I won't make everybody show their hands who likes to sing. I know a few of you, obviously, but maybe some of us, you know, if we sang our prayers, God might say back to us, hey, could you not do that anymore? You just, you know, do what? Yeah, that's, I mean, but, you know, maybe those of you who can't sing very well, you're gifted in the right area of writing, and God would say, hey, could you just send me an email, you know? Could you just text me that prayer, you know? Yeah, yeah. You know, and we kind of have to find what works for us in the area of prayer. Maybe it's singing. Maybe it's, you know, writing our prayers. Maybe it's simply finding a way to pray during routine tasks. You know, we got a lot of mundane things that go on during the day, and just finding time in those, you know, moments where it's just like really boring and just, you know, sitting at a stoplight or you know, while you're in the bathroom. That's kind of my favorite place to pray. Just saying, you know. I do spend a significant amount of time in the bathroom. What? Hey, I'm just being honest, all right? Just sharing some pearls of wisdom with you right now, you know? Hey, you tweet on the toilet. We know. We have heard this. You've told us this before. That if you post on Twitter or Facebook, odds are it came from on the toilet. So don't lie.
There's not like a 98% chance.
There's not like a 98? Oh. Yeah, it's more like 92% chance. The other 8%, you know. Okay. Well, don't just leave me out here stranded on an island like I'm the only one that uses that time in the bathroom to, you know, do other things, okay? Maybe you pray when you're hurting or when things are, you know, something's gone bad or whatever. You just, maybe you're really good at taking your emotions to God and just kind of just laying there, you know, laying them there before God. Or you're just good at saying, you know, really praising God and just if you have having a good day. It's really easy for you to just be thankful in that way and take that to God and pray. You know, maybe you tell God a joke. Obviously, he's going to know the punchline, but maybe you have that kind of prayer life with God. Well, or that, I guess. I'm not sure. I don't know too many jokes that don't have a punchline. Yeah. But it's we have to kind of break out of our preconceived notions of what prayer is. And I want to look at a few things tonight, kind of building our foundation for areas and or ways that we can communicate to God and areas that we need to work on and how we communicate to God. And it answers this question, how do we talk to God? How do we talk to God? The first one is we have to be completely honest. We're completely honest with God. We have to learn to talk with honesty. I don't think a lot of people do this. Let me give you an example of what I'm thinking about. Have you ever been out to lunch or dinner or been around somebody, you're getting ready to pray for a meal, and the prayer, they're like, well, hold on, let me pray. And it's like, you know, something like, oh, great Heavenly Father, creator of all things, bless us thy meal unto our bodies, you know, and you know somebody who prays like this?
Keith does it on purpose.
Okay, I was gonna. I'm like,
you know,
I'm.
You do the thumbs, and he's like, "Okay, I'll pray," and then he purposely does it.
Trying to be a jerk, you know, like.
He like prays for all, every
See, like, nobody really talks that way. I mean, I don't...
Jump into King James English.
Yeah, it's like, and it's like, hey, could you pass the salt after that? You know, yeah, it's like...
Take us to the throne room, don't keep us there.
Exactly. You know, nobody really, you know, speaks that way. And so why do we have the tendency to think, why do we have to talk to God like that? I mean, how weird would that be if Lila came up here or Jocelyn came up here? Jocelyn probably couldn't do it, but Lila came up here and was like, oh, great omnipotent father of mine. Or, you know, at home, she's like, could you join us in thy holy living room for a round of horsey, you know, whatever. You know, I mean... Can you hold it? You know, it would just be really weird if she started using words like beseech you to the, could I beseech you to the living room, you know, to help me color the holy coloring book, you know, I mean, it's just, nobody, yeah. The what? The book of Dora? Thy book of Dora and thy, the holy SpongeBob or whatever, you know. That's not how, I mean, first of all, that's not how any of our relationships work. I mean, and especially not, you know, with my kids. I mean, Lila can climb up to my lap and just say, hey, Daddy, can we color? Or, hey, Daddy, can we, you know, do this? Hey, I love you. Why would we think for a second it would be any different when it comes to God? I mean, I think, you know, we're His children, you know, and we should be able to just come to Him and talk to Him with authenticity and with complete honesty. In fact, there are some places in the scriptures where it's really kind of almost scary how honest these the people from the scripture, you know, are with God. It's almost to the point of, you know, too honest. You're kind of afraid that maybe He might strike them down. You know, they even, you know, express anger sometimes and yell at God. I know, you know, Moses is a great example of that in Exodus 5:22-23. Says, "Oh Lord, why?" And he's almost sarcastic in a way. "Oh Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is that why you sent me?" He's just, you know, being totally honest with God and asking his kind of painful confused question. Why is this going on? He's expressing his doubts, and he says, "Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak your name, he has brought trouble upon his people, and you have not rescued your people at all." We can be just as honest as Moses is in this small moment with God. We can be that honest with God. We can take that before Him. Now, two things I want to point out here is we need to remember to be reverent. I think there's a part of that where we have to kind of be reverent, and we need to be worshipful, and we need to be submissive to God. But we can be honest. We can kind of say it like it is. We can say, God, I don't get this. I don't understand why I'm going through this situation. I don't understand why this happened to me. God, could you help make sense of this? Is it me? Is it you? You know, is it, did I do something or have you not done something? You know, am I not doing what I should be? Have you just not answered my prayers yet or whatever? We can be open. If you just talk to God like you would an intimate friend, with complete honesty. That's the first thing. Second thing is, how do we talk to God? We tell Him everything. We need to learn to talk to God and tell Him everything that matters to us. I had an amazing illustration for this, and I had to like clip it out of another video, and I totally forgot to do it. So I'm just going to tell you the story. It's not going to have the same effect. But no, I don't want to act it out. It's actually from the guy that wrote this series. He tells a story about his children. He has six kids, and they want a dog really bad. And they have so too many pets. They got like birds and cats and all this stuff. And he's like, I don't really want to have a dog. But if God were to send the right dog, I'd let you have a dog. And so they start a prayer meeting about it. And he's like, and the way he's describing it, he's like, this made Pentecost look small. They are having like this holy prayer meeting, you know, just like really calling the angels down to come and bring them a dog. And they wouldn't even, he's like, we wouldn't even pray for me like this if I was in the hospital, maybe 10 minutes tops. And they're having like an hour long prayer session over this dog. And seriously, the day after he he tells them to pray for this. The very next day, he comes home from the office, and they're all in the driveway, all of his kids, and they're like high-fiving and fist-bumping and chest-bumping, and sure enough, there's a dog, this little puppy, and he's I didn't know this, but he says they live out in the middle of nowhere, and apparently somebody just dumped this puppy off for death, you know, and an angel of the Lord brought it to their home, and brought this, you know, brought this dog, and then, you know, and he's like feeling, you know, like, oh my gosh, how horrible of a dad would I be if I tell him to pray for it? God answers their prayers. And then he's like, nope, we can't have this dog, you know. But it's amazing thinking about that story and the idea that God really does care about what things matter to us. It says in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, the big things, the small things, the medium things, everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So in everything, we need to take it to God. Even when it's small, whatever's important to you, whatever that may be, your goldfish might be important to you. If it was my goldfish, it would just be in the toilet. But goldfish might be important to you, so pray about that. If goldfish, there's something wrong with your goldfish. I don't know. Do people even get goldfishes still? Seriously? Goldfishes? The goldfish crackers. I ran out of goldfish crackers, so I had to pray for more. No. If they're belly up. I don't know if God is going to answer that prayer to, like, bring your fish back to life, but who knows? You know, it, whatever it be. If it's important to you, I think it's important to God. We are His children. And I mean, there's tons and tons of examples throughout the Scriptures where something was important to them, and maybe it seemed significant to others, but it was important to that particular person, and so they prayed about it to God, and God, you know, heard their prayer. Here's just a kind of a small list of some things. Zacharias wanted a son, and so he said, God, please give us a son. Solomon asked for wisdom. He said, above all else, give me wisdom. Moses and Samson both asked for water in a time when there wasn't any water. God, please give us water. Daniel had a weird dream, and he didn't know what it meant, and he asked God, you know, help me understand what this dream meant. Gideon felt God calling, you know, sent an angel of the Lord to him and calling him to do something, and he needed, you know, some more confirmation of that. And so he, you know, I need a sign. Give me a sign. Give me proof, God, that this is really you. And God answers that prayer. Abraham had a servant who prayed that God would give favor on him when he was looking for a wife for Isaac. And again, God answered that. Grant me success today as I'm on my journey. And that's just a small list. There are probably tons more of examples of where people in the Scriptures prayed for something that might have been insignificant to somebody else, but was really important to them, and God heard their prayer and answered those things. So whatever is important to you as God's child is going to be important to God, and it's worth praying about. We pray with honesty. We take everything to Him, even things that we may think don't matter to Him, but they matter to us. And then number three is we've got to talk to God continually. This is in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. It says, be joyful always and pray continually. The King James Version says, pray without ceasing. So pray continually, give thanks to God in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You all right over there?
She's quoting the entire thing there. Like, I understand
what she's saying. You just got an overachiever over here. I'm just kidding. I should know it as many times as I referenced it from complete memory, but yeah, this is the best name. I kind of don't wish I had this name, because at the same time, it's the best name and the dorkiest name all at the same time. I heard a quote from this guy named Smith Wigglesworth.
Wow, that's an Earth-given name.
I don't know. I mean, he was a British evangelist. I think somebody made him up. I don't even know. But he said that he never prays for more than 20 minutes at a time, but he never goes 20 minutes more than 20 minutes without praying.
Overachiever.
Huh?
Overachiever.
Hey. And I've been thinking about that in my own life and just thinking, man, how amazing would that be if I could get myself to a point where I never pray for more than 20 minutes, but I never go 20 minutes without praying. I mean, that is, to me, would be, at least for my life, would be the definition of praying without ceasing. I mean, that would... I don't know. I didn't ask him.
Okay, by logic, that would have to apply, because if you prayed for more than 20 minutes and prayed for every 20 minutes, you'd just never stop praying. Literally, you would pray forever.
I see.
Like 19 minutes of sleep.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't get a chance to talk to the guy. Because, I mean, I'm sure if I did, the first thing I'd be asking about is the name. We would be stuck on that. But the idea here is that we practice this concept of constantly talking to God. Another guy put it this way. He says, for me, I've learned in my continual prayer, whatever I'm praying for, I always push. P-U-S-H. Push. It stands for, I pray until something happens. Did you know that already? You knew that?
The little children's church had a video
on that. Oh, really? I didn't know that. Well, look at you guys. Huh?
That just made me think of that.
Oh, salt. No, I can't stand that commercial. We should pray until God does something, until something happens. All right, moving on, because we're running out of time. Number four. How do we talk to God? We listen to His response. Okay, how one-sided would it be, and how messed up would it be, is if all we ever did was we continually prayed, but never let God actually have time to talk. I mean, think about that in any of the relationships you have in your life. If you know, you just always talk to your parents and never ever let them talk, I'm sure that would go over really well. I dare you to try it. You know, I mean, I think about it in the context of Allison and I's marriage. I mean, if I constantly am going to her and like, would you do this for me? Would you do that for me? Hey, can we go here? Hey, could you fix me breakfast? Hey, hot mama, could you come over here and give me a kiss? You know, something like that. You know, because I talk like that to her. Sometimes, actually. She might say something like, hey, why don't you go kiss yourself, you big jerk, and then give me a big, you know. If I never, ever let her talk, that'd be pretty messed up, right? Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he proceeds to, like, tell her about every chapter.
It's like 260-some chapters.
She tries to say something, and he's like, it's really rude to interrupt.
Yeah. He she's... They run into each other in the hallway, later, like, in the room later, and she says... he goes, did you get my text? And he goes, yeah, it's 12 pages long, and it's still downloading, or something like that, you know? That he talks like 20 minutes straight without letting her talk at all. I don't know. I didn't ask. I don't think Smith Wigglesworth was on the case on that one. But why does this matter? Why does that even matter? Because we have to have a two-way conversation with God. It's important that we pray to Him, but then we give Him time to respond to us. We need to hear from God. He needs to have opportunity to speak into our life and you know, be it through the Word, through other people, through, you know, just the Spirit of God. Maybe He's even going to speak to you audibly. I cannot personally attest to that ever happening in my own life. I know people who've said they heard God audibly. I have never... you know, one of the coolest passages of Scripture, probably I would put it in maybe my top 10 favorite, is in 1 Kings, where it talks about Elijah hearing God speak. And it's like, if I remember right, you know, it starts with Elijah on this mountain, and this wind comes and tears up all the rocks and just shatters the rocks, and it says that God wasn't in that. and then there's an earthquake. And you would think that God would be in the earthquake, and he wasn't in the earthquake. And then there's this fire that comes, and it's like, man, surely God is in the fire. And then he wasn't in the fire. No idea what that just was.
Preston was just coming up here a second ago, like he needed you. I don't know if you want to go downstairs.
Yeah, we're running over just a few minutes, but we're going to be done in just a second. So, I'm surprised there's not a loud noise down there. Normally, there's a huge commotion. So, but
wait for it.
But it says in 1 Kings 19, verse 12, that after the fire, there came a gentle whisper. That God wasn't in all these big things, but that he was in the whisper. And maybe that's how God wants to speak to you. I don't know how he wants to speak to you. Again, he might speak to you through somebody else, through audible voice, through the Spirit, through you reading the Word. But you all right over there? Okay, just making sure. We have to remember to listen to God. Be honest. Tell him what matters. Pray continually. And listen. Alright. So let's just, now that we've talked about praying, it might be good to actually spend some time in prayer. So, let's bow our heads. I know I asked this before, but with all heads bowed and eyes closed, if you really feel like, man, I just really want you to pray for me because I could use some area, or I could use some growth in this area, just raise your hand real quick and then put it back down. If you're willing to admit that you need growth in the area of prayer, you can put your hand up. All right, let's pray. God, we just pray that you would just listen to our cry. God, that you would hear our prayers. As it says, consider our sigh. God, in the morning, we want to pray to you. We want to give you our requests. We want to be waiting expectantly on you to do something. God, that we would have the courage to pray until you do something. God, we want to know you. We want to know you specifically more through prayer, through this concept of praying to you. And I just pray that you would allow each of us, Lord, to experience a transformation in the area of prayer, that we would grow significantly in this area, that we would have a desire to pray to you more, God, that we would be honest about where our heart is and what's going on in our life, and we would just lay that before you, and that we would tell you, God, about the things that matter to us, and even when they seem really small and like nobody else seems to care about this, like maybe we're the only person that cares about that thing, but God, we're going to take it to you anyways and trust that you do care about it. And God, that you would help us to pray continually, that we wouldn't stop praying. And God, finally, that we would be willing to just, when we need to listen to you, God. You'd help us to be people who hear your voice and know your voice. God, it says that the sheep know the shepherd's voice, and I just pray that we would become those kind of people, that we would become the sheep that know the shepherd's voice. And I pray for the next couple weeks as we dive into this series, God, that you would help us to begin to grow more in our prayer life. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody running like wind sprints down.